This comes from Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he had went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass, by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. How many ways do you and I say, "What's the use?" How many ways do you and I stress out and say, "There's not enough"? How many ways do you and I stress out and think to ourselves, "We're just too late to make any difference. It's not worth it"? How many ways? How many ways in marriage? How many ways in parenting and life at work? How many ways do we as a church just say, "It's not enough"? And on the other side of the road, opposite of the rut of despair and resignation, how many ways do we shuck and jive? How many ways do we control and manipulate, thinking that just because we don't have enough, we'll figure out one way by hook or crook and take care of it ourselves? How many ways? Or has your journey with the Lord given you a desire not to get stuck into either side of the road? In our gospel reading for today, it's a powerful lesson on trust that Jesus gives to his disciples. I mean, they're busy doing mission and ministry. They're trying their best to carry out their work with Christ. And they're exhausted, and Jesus wants to take care of them and shepherd them and says, "Well, let's just have a break." And so they step away from the busy life of mission and ministry, go on a boat ride, only to land in the middle of it once again where people are just desperate for help. And so Jesus, looking at them, seeing, has compassion, and starts teaching them many things. And so the disciples are seeing the Lord doing his work, and yet the disciples have a concern too. They're learning what it means to be involved in the mission and ministry of our Lord's life and service to the world. And it's fascinating. They're getting concerned because they know that after a while, the belly isn't going to be able to give people the ability to listen and learn anything. And so out of concern, they approach Jesus and they say to Jesus, "Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside. This is a desolate place. The hour is now late. Let them buy for themselves something to eat." I mean, isn't that the right thing to do? Aren't the disciples' concerns well-founded? I mean, let's take care of their bellies too and make sure they have enough fuel in the tank to keep learning and growing. Or was it really a need? You know, they're concerned, understandably so. And Jesus only makes it worse for them. They don't need to go anywhere. They don't? No, why don't you feed them? No pressure. No stress. I mean, you know, you want to say some of these things with a lot of enthusiasm. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? I mean, they're starting to worry because it's not working so well for them. Their concern is not being met with someone who thinks, well, that's a good idea. He wants to keep them around. He wants them to be fed by the disciples. In John chapter 6, where this is recorded, we hear that Jesus said this to Philip to test him. It's a test. It's a test. It's a test to trust in Jesus. And he's really testing them. With all these people to feed, you want us to do it? You've got to be kidding. What? There's a boy that has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What's that among so many? The answer we give is clearly not enough. In every sense of the word, clearly not enough. This is a powerful miracle. When you look at that picture, what do you see? If you see them at all. You know, it's hard to see people. A lot of times they just look like scenery in the metropolitan area of North Texas. Or they're keeping us from getting where we need to go quicker. When Jesus looked at the crowds, he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. That's good news. In fact, that's the gospel in this text. He sees them as people who need to be cared for. They're not scenery. They're not widgets to get anything from. They're people. And so he engages them with compassion. It says in the Greek that he had the guts to care. He felt for them to the core of him. His heart went out to them to care for them in truth. And so he taught them many things. He fed them in many ways. His desire was to grow within them a confidence in him, a trust in God. And the disciples kind of mess it up by wanting to change gears. But it's not really the case, because now Jesus has a chance to feed the disciples and teach them what it means to trust in him. It's hard for us to see people oftentimes. Forest for the trees, right? Good news is Jesus sees that we are people in need and he cares for us. He feeds us with his word of truth. He grows trust in us to trust in him. It's a powerful miracle. Philip is the bean counter, the accountant. He does the math. 8 months of wages. A denarii was like a day's of wage. So 200 days of wages wouldn't be enough. We hear Philip say in John chapter 6. We hear Andrew say, and he's the hunter-gatherer. Andrew works around, finds a kid with a lunch. What's this among so many? And so both come to the conclusion that it's not going to be enough to take care of them. The amazing thing about this is that Christ's economy is so different than ours. I mean, he's not stressing out at all. He's actually working them through a deliberate process where they have to give up on their own ways and adopt his. You see, the way Jesus works through things is different than the way we work through things. It's not that our skills and our knowledge and our ability, it's not that they are bad. It's just that when we use our skills and our knowledge and our ability, we need to do so in relationship with Him so that we avoid despair on one side and the shucking and the jiving of trying to, by hook or crook, do it ourselves on the other side. The Lord would have us use our skills, our knowledge, and our abilities to assess things honestly, openly, without apology, so that we can then pray and tell Him about it. Lord, I'm running out of time today for everything I need to do. It's got me stressed. Lord, what am I going to do with all the bills I have to pay and how little I have to pay them with? The Lord would have us live out our relationship with Him in a daily rhythm of assessment, using our skills, and then surrender to Him. What's fascinating is, though the disciples are going through this gut-wrenching process, Jesus has the guts to care for them, to let them work through and wrestle through these issues, to learn and to grow and to see how their own ways can be so feeble compared to His ways. And then He says, give them to Me. You wonder what was going on in the disciples' minds. What? You want them anyway? The 5 loaves and the 2 fish? You got to be kidding. Give them to Me. You've got to be kidding. Give them to Me. So, what was humanly impossible in every sense of the word was received by Jesus, and He, how does it go? And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and said a blessing. You've got to be kidding. No, that's what He did. His ways are not our ways. And the one who came to rescue us was the one who wanted to feed them. So what was humanly not enough in every sense of the word became more than enough in the right hands. In the right hands, not in our hands. In His hands. So brothers and sisters in Christ, where are you stressing? And perhaps you're saying, I wish it was just in one place, Pastor. There's a lot on my plate that I can't figure out what to do with. Well, what do you need to give to Jesus so He can give it back to you? I mean, what are you wrestling with? Nouns, people, places, or things. What do you need to say, Lord, I just need to give this to You. I don't know what else to do. Settle my heart and mind. If that's your assessment, then it's time to give it to Him. What's amazing about this miracle is that Jesus gives thanks, and then He starts giving it back. And they don't run out. Oftentimes in your life and my life, we need to learn how to use what we have instead of what we wish. And until we go through this process with the Lord, we can't see what we have because our wish is just blinding us with despair or the shucking and the jiving. And neither are good ways for us to live out our life. The Lord would have us share where we're stressing in truth, and to honestly tell Him what we're going through and what we're dealing with. And then place whatever we're wrestling with, people, places, or things, and give them to the Lord. That's what the Lord would have us learn. And when you think about it in your life, how many ways has He done that? How many ways has the Good Shepherd cared for you and for me, and we're not the wiser for it? He just took care of it. Of course, there are places in your life and my life where we can look back and we can say, my goodness, wow, there was only one way that that worked, and that was You, Lord. And of course, there are places where on pins and needles we say, I sure hope You can. Well, at least you're talking to the right one. Just give it to Him again and see what He can do. and understand his attitude, and then use what you have. You know, the fascinating thing about this miracle is that Jesus did what was humanly impossible, and there were leftovers. The Lord would have them trust the disciples. The tragedy is that you don't go much further in chapter 6 to realize that the disciples don't get it. They don't get it. Would that we do, that we would learn what this miracle means. You know, they recorded this so that we would see what our brothers wrestled with and struggled with long ago. And it's not a complimentary picture of them, but it's an awesome picture of Jesus and what he willingly did. But this miracle pales in comparison to what Jesus did on the cross. So consider the multiplying effect of the cross. Think about what our Lord did going the way of the cross. For all the ways that we have fallen short, for all the ways that we have trespassed, for all the ways that we have left God, trying to strike it out our own, only to realize as battered and smashed sheep that we've been chewed up by the one who's seeking to devour, and we've been fleeced by those who only see us as widgets to rob from. How wonderful it is to know that he looks at us differently, and that because of his cross and what he did on Calvary, that it has a multiplying effect of blessing in and across all of your life and my life, to the place where right now, even where we're stressing, we know that the Lord in his hands can do things with it. If he could handle the cross and what his hands did there, he can handle what you and I are dealing with as our good shepherd. Gosh, it makes you just want to give everything to the Lord in all of your life, in all that you care about, in all that you've been and are and will be, knowing that in his hands, there's a whole lot more than meets our eyes. And there will be a lot more accomplished than anything we understand. And while we are to use what God has gifted us with in our skills, knowledge, and abilities, we do it so that we learn how to pray and entrust into his hands everything, especially that one thing that has us saying, what are we going to do now? Or tempting us to take matters into our own hands. The Lord would have us trust in him. The fundamental point of what has been revealed to us in this today is this: Jesus' assessments and actions, his economy, is faithful in your life and my life. Trust him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.